Okay, hello and welcome everyone to another episode of my video podcast on the future of business and technology. And today's topic is private AI and whether this might be the future of generative AI. And to help me untangle this, I'm joined today by Humanshu Singh, who is the Director for Cloud Infrastructure and AI Product Marketing at VMware by Broadcom. Hi, Humanshu.
Hey, Bernard. That title was quite a mouthful, wasn't it? But I guess in technology, we tend to do that, have these long-ass titles.
I agree. Where are you joining us from today?
So I am based out of the Bay Area here in California, where the VMware by Broadcom HQ is currently at home, of course, as you can realize from my background. Don't have that nice of an office when I actually end up at work. But it's sunny California. It's beautiful weather out there, nice and chilly. So wonderful day ahead. And I'm excited to talk to you about AI and private AI.
Very good. Yeah, me too. Maybe you can give us a bit of your background. How did you end up being a director at VMware by Broadcom?
Yeah. I've been in kind of the tech space for quite some time. I've bounced around a couple of places. I've spent a bunch of time in cloud computing in overall. I used to be at Microsoft Azure when we actually launched it back in, 2008 or so. Before that, I've been with IBM Global Services. So again, in the private cloud space, so to say. And so basically been working on some of those things. And then I joined VMware. And VMware's been, a fantastic journey. I've been at VMware for almost 11 years now, and now VMware by Broadcom, as we just, completed the acquisition recently. And so it's been a good journey talking to a variety of different audiences, developers, IT admins, DevOps teams, the SRE kind of persona, and of course, looking at kind of a business decision makers and all that kind of stuff. So really exciting space to be in from cloud computing, from a private cloud perspective. And as we look at some of these kind of newer workloads that are coming in, well, AI is absolutely, I think, the big one right now. And I think for quite some time to come. And as in terms of making sure that we're addressing a key market need, a customer need, I got involved in AI and we came up with the whole idea of private AI. And it's an absolutely exciting field to be in. A lot happening on a weekly basis, basically. So I'm watching, I'm participating, and it's just really cool to be able to see such a massive evolution happening right now.
I agree. Yeah, revolution is probably a very good word to describe it. Is AI, the AI space is super hyped up, especially around generative AI. I would love to get your perspective on why do you see organizations being excited about AI and particularly generative AI today?
Yeah. So maybe if we look at this in context, right? We've had some big moments in time from a technology industry perspective. If you think about 30, 40 years ago, PCs came about and computing completely changed, right? Internet came after that, and then just access to information became super easy and everything. I think what's the next big one? Mobile, right? So mobile's another one, which is about, hey, I'm just gonna make it a wonderful experience and easy accessibility to everybody, no matter where you are. I think like to the extent that all these massive moments have had huge impact on each of our lives personally as well as professionally, AI is the one I think that's gonna just take it to a whole new level. It's about taking creativity to just the next level and kind of having a massive impact on how we can create things and have easy access to consume that newly created information. Now, I mean, think about this, like AI is not new really, right? AI has been around for a while. And it's been one of those things where it's all about predictive analytics, right? Mm-hmm. It's the user was the data scientist, typically they would create a model that's addressing a very specific need, and you're interacting with the model in computing language, essentially, right? And now you've got a situation where, like, these generative AI models, the large language models that are available, they are like, the end user is us, right? You and I and anybody, and we can interact with these models in natural human language. And we don't have to have like one model for one specific use case. Like, these LLMs have such broad applicability that they can learn and be fine-tuned. It's I think it just unlocks so much from a you know, possibilities perspective, no matter what vertical you are. You know, you might be a healthcare industry, you might be in a law firm, you might be in manufacturing. AI can actually just completely transform a lot of the different aspects of what we do as professionals. And I think that's basically why, across the board, like, people, you know, as consumers, where you are interacting with like ChatGPT, for example, or you're working with Google Bard to plan out your holiday schedule or stuff like that, or you're looking as an enterprise and trying to figure out, hey, how can I enable my organization, my employees better to be able to serve the needs of my customer in just new and unique ways and much better ways? There's so much possibility. And that's why I think there's just this, it's a huge hype cycle, absolutely. But like, that's why there's genuine excitement in the industry right now about what can generative AI do for me and for my folks.
I agree. Are there any particular use cases that you're particularly excited about in terms of showing the value of generative AI to organizations? So
maybe a couple of examples, right? So if you think about the most common one that comes up is code generation. For vendors like VMware by Broadcom, there's just so much productivity improvement you can do by being able to leverage AI, generative AI models, for snippets of code that can be easily used and reused, so that your developers can focus on like higher level logic, essentially, right? Versus some of the simpler things that AI can actually generate for them. So the idea being that, well, now you're potentially able to create significantly more interesting applications and workloads, and create newer functionality. If you're thinking about actually any kind of vendor where you have a support system or a help desk, basically, you know, you typically have a lot of situations where you call your service provider. I'm not going to name names at this point because they're probably customers as well. But hey, you're like, I was trying to find answer to this question. And I'm doing the phone thing, answer to this question. And yeah, the rep just couldn't help me at all, and they couldn't figure out the problem. Well, with using generative AI and these large language models, you know, the rep on that side can very quickly find the right information, without having to go through this like massive amounts of documentation and all that kind of stuff. And that can make the experience for the end customer fantastic, because my problem gets solved very quickly, but also like just the overall experience and job satisfaction for the rep and, themselves as the employee of that company, right? So I think just a couple of very simple examples that are extremely prevalent already. But again, very, very, I would say, obvious benefit that comes to mind when, in terms of, hey, some of these things are making such a massive change already. Can you imagine like what other things we might be able to do that we haven't even thought of yet?
Yeah, and there's obviously a huge buzz in organizations of how they can use generative AI and AI more generically. But there are also concerns. So companies like Apple and Samsung and JP Morgan have restricted the use of open platforms like ChatGPT. What are some of their main concerns? What are you hearing from your customers?
Yeah, so, it's always the case where nothing is perfect, right? It's, there's always the other side of every coin. And so I think what's happening in this case is because something like a ChatGPT, and this is not no fault of ChatGPT, but any kind of publicly available large language model, they're inherently designed to be able to, learn from the input that's kind of being coming into them as well. And so you've got cases of people who are, inadvertently just not knowing, used the organization's private data, private IP, to get some insights using a public model. And that basically means that, well, those things that you've shared with the model are now in the public domain, essentially, right? So those kind of issues around privacy of data, privacy of IP, I think are probably the biggest concern, I would imagine, you know, in terms of key things that organizations are doing. But again, there's a bunch of other stuff that goes, into when organizations are thinking about, how to really deal with AI, how to deal with generative AI, what's the right way to do it, for someone to be able to give them a little bit more of guidance around what are the best practices, what are the tips and tricks, what to avoid, for example, and also making sure that you're going into it with open eyes, that you have realistic expectations of what it is and what it is not. So I think those are all kind of things that are, I think, going in the minds of all, CIOs and CEOs today, to really think about, what do I do? I know I need to do something in this space for my company. I don't want to be left behind, but what are the different things that I got to think about? And I think privacy is absolutely the biggest one that we're hearing from customers.
Yeah, good. So, and you've come up with this concept of private AI. Do you want to explain how private AI could help with these concerns?
Yeah, so just based on literally listening to that, to those kind of challenges from customers related to Gen AI, VMware, and at this point, VMware by Broadcom, what we came up with the idea of private AI. And private AI doesn't mean it's about private cloud, because the name similarity is there, but it's about privacy of data. That's kind of the key concept of it. And the basic idea is, it's an architectural approach that makes sure that, you're getting all the benefits of generative AI and traditional AI workloads, while making sure that you're still focusing on fundamental things like privacy, security, compliance, et cetera, et cetera. Because those are some of the things that, as an enterprise, you have to make sure that you're paying attention to whenever you're running any kind of like significant workload in your environment, right? So Gen AI needs to be just another workload and be part of the overall kind of enterprise fabric. And because of that, it needs to make sure that things like privacy and security, et cetera, are addressed. So that's kind of the concept of VMware Private AI that we've introduced in the market. We actually been working on this for some time, of course, and a couple of years. And then we introduced this at VMware Explore in late August 2023. And so that's kind of the time frame when we introduced it. We've had a lot of different things that we've been doing in this space since then. But fundamentally, that's kind of the idea of private AI and really putting the emphasis on that biggest pain point that customers have right now.
So how is VMware's private AI different and unique? How does it work in practice?
Yeah, so one of the things that VMware and now VMware by Broadcom has been known for is creating the broadest ecosystem around our offerings in general. So if you think about vSphere as the compute platform that we have, we basically have the broadest ecosystem in terms of whether it is OEMs or it is third parties or service providers around it to make sure that customers have the right, the maximum amount of choice, right? While they're leveraging kind of the best of breed solution in this case. That's the thought process behind how we're looking at private AI as well. So I would say there's a few key things that really differentiate VMware Private AI from what might be otherwise available. Privacy, as I already mentioned, that's paramount. And we build in the concept of privacy, security, compliance into the core platform. So you can think about you've got kind of a core hardware layer of your servers that you got from your OEM. On top of that, you would be running VMware Cloud Foundation, which is our full stack offering, includes compute, storage, networking, management, et cetera. That's where all these aspects are being taken care of. And on top of that, you've got kind of your MLOps solution, large language models, and you have a wide variety of choice, and we can talk about that as well. The basic sense in this case is, well, privacy is one thing. Choice, as I said, is another one, because one of the aspects I would call out is, as you're looking at the evolution of this industry, this space, things are changing so fast that you don't want to be locked in into a narrow space. You want to make sure that you're able to leverage multiple large language models. You want to be able to switch out different components when you need to, and also making sure like the infrastructure capabilities are evolving at the same time. So because of that, like we're doing partnerships with all the big players right now to make sure that all our customers have a variety of choices that are available. The other thing I would say is cost and performance. Those are another two big ones that we focus on. So you want to make sure that you're getting all the performance that you need for your Gen AI workloads or traditional AI workloads, because you're going to make some investments in the underlying hardware, in the processing capacity, GPUs, DPUs, et cetera, that whatever you're leveraging to build your models. And you want to make sure that the infrastructure platform, in this case, the VMware Cloud platform that we have available, is able to provide all that performance while optimizing your cost overall. So, we've shared things about how VMware's platform is able to give you overall kind of better performance than even running on bare metal, while giving you all the benefits of this cost optimization that virtualization typically kind of brings. So there's all these kind of different things that you got to think about in terms of the value that you're getting out of it, and all the performance that you need. And then as I said earlier, security, compliance, like we make sure that the whole idea of we're treating this as an enterprise workload, and it needs to have all that robustness around it in terms of the core infrastructure that powers it. So that's the basic, fundamental approach from VMware around this. And that's kind of how we make sure that we differentiate our solution and compared to whatever else might be available. One other thing I would add to this is, when you think about leveraging an AI model or a Gen AI model, it's all about the data you have and then applying the computing power to it, right? Now, your data is going to be in different places. If you are a large organization, you probably have a private cloud footprint. You probably have a public cloud footprint. In many, many cases, you're going to have some sort of edge locations where you're doing stuff, where you're generating that data as well, and where you have need for insights too. In this case, our approach is go where the data is, versus having to move your data around. So the idea of take that large language model, fine tune it, train it based on your specific kind of data, and then for inferencing, you go where the end user might be, where that data resides. So you can actually optimize your overall kind of economics that way. And then also there's things like, as I said, performance and latency start factoring into that picture as well. So that's another big aspect of how we think in terms of Gen AI workloads should be kind of deployed overall.
Very good. And I believe you've recently launched a number of partnerships in this space. Do you want to outline those?
Yeah, we've had a significant number of partnerships. And in fact, in a short amount of time, we've made some big announcements and really exciting to be talking about that actually. So the first one that we did was with NVIDIA. And we've been working with NVIDIA for, more than a decade at this point, and all sorts of work together that we've done with new technologies that have come out, where we are supporting kind of NVIDIA GPUs and some of the fundamental innovation that's come out of NVIDIA, making sure that it's available to all our VMware customers. We announced the VMware Private AI Foundation with NVIDIA. So this is an upcoming solution, upcoming offering. That's basically an end-to-end stack that's in fact, going to be available in the near future as an add-on on top of our VMware Cloud Foundation offering. And the idea there is you've got a very opinionated solution where in VMware and NVIDIA came together and basically said, hey, here's one way you can really deploy your Gen AI workloads in a really, really solid way, while you still have flexibility in terms of solutions being able to be plugged in, plugged out. It's about leveraging whatever OEMs that you have, core VMware layer, the NVIDIA AI Enterprise Suite running on top, which has all sorts of key capabilities. And then you've got large language models that you can run on top of it. So you could use the NeMo framework from NeMo LLMs from NVIDIA, or you can use others as well there. But the idea there is it's the easy button when it comes to Gen AI, knowing that you've got the IP and the expertise from NVIDIA and then VMware by Broadcom in this case together. So that's kind of number one. The second one is the partnership announcement that we made with Intel, right? So Intel has recently, it's been some time, I think January or February 2023, when the fourth generation Xeon CPUs came out, and those actually have a variety of these AI accelerators built in. What that does is you can actually now run AI workloads leveraging CPUs, and you may not need GPUs in this case. So as you're going through like your hardware refresh cycles, it's very easy to be able to leverage the fourth gen Xeons now from Intel and then be able to run your AI workloads on top of it. They also have these Max series GPUs that you can leverage, and you can run broader, larger scale LLMs in this case as well. So what that does is between Intel and VMware and / Broadcom, we came up with a very a validated joint stack, essentially, and we've released reference architectures and guidance and documentation around that, where customers can actually use that information and be able to build their generative AI solutions. So that's another kind of key partnership. The third one I would highlight is with IBM. So IBM watsonx platform, very well known in terms of the success it has had in terms of AI and Gen AI in general right now. And it's typically been available on in cloud environments. And in this case, with our partnership with IBM, we're now able to provide access to that watsonx capabilities for on-premises environments as well. So that's really fantastic in terms of being able to provide that all that, the horsepower that watsonx provides and all the intelligence that watsonx is able to deliver. So again, I talked about choice earlier, right? You can see we're going for building the biggest and broadest ecosystem when it comes to generative AI in this case. And again, with all three partners, the focus has been on privacy. So making sure that we're always thinking about private AI. There's obviously a lot more to come. We've shared some of our plans around how we want to work with hyperscalers. We want to work with more partners. We want to work with a variety of folks at different levels in that stack and provide customers all those options, which will help them really realize the gains of generative AI. So again, we're just starting on this journey. There's so much more to come, but again, extremely exciting to be able to talk about some of these partnerships that we've announced.
Very good. So what are some of the benefits then of your private AI solution, if you were to summarize it?
Yeah, let me see. So fundamentally, it's about making sure that AI doesn't stay as a siloed workload like it has for the past decade or whatever. That is part of the enterprise fabric, that IT is able to support generative AI workloads like they support any other kind of enterprise workload. So having consistency in terms of the core platform, having consistency in terms of how you operate it and manage it is very important. And that's one thing that's the idea of using VMware Cloud Foundation as that underlying platform that powers all your applications. So gives all your internal teams a very consistent way of managing your environment. That's a key one, I would say. And then, of course, as I talked about, privacy, choice, giving you the the right cost performance, you know, the optimized cost performance numbers, basically focusing on security, sustainability, as well as any kind of compliance needs that you might have, again, specific to different verticals, for example. I think those are key things that really differentiate and, you know, kind of provide like those big, big benefits that CIOs and CEOs are really looking for as they, you know, evaluate and try to figure out what's the right way for them to roll this out in their own organizations.
What are some of your favorite use cases then when it comes to private AI? Where are organizations using this technology in their approach?
So there's a few different things I would say. When it comes to kind of key use cases, again, at the end of the day, the use case is going to be driven by the individual customer, what their specific needs might be. Where we are coming from is making sure we're providing the best foundation from an infrastructure perspective for these, for you know, all our customers. But again, you know, the obvious ones that have wide applicability. So if you think about a large organization that does have their own internal development teams, well, code generation is going to apply across the board. Doesn't matter what vertical you're in, right? Contact centers, we talked about that. The other one is around, I would say, just automation of a lot of IT operations, right? So that's, again, very wide applicability. Any large organization or any kind of size of organization can really benefit in terms of a lot more automation driven by, you know, generative AI in this case, which basically means that, well, now your teams have a lot more bandwidth in order to be able to support higher-end needs, more strategic objectives, be able to have a lot more differentiation. So you're not spending time on more manual tasks, for example. Another one that I would think about is like information retrieval, for example. If you think of like a law firm, or if you think about a federal office, a government office in the public sector, there's all these cases of lots of documentation. This applies in healthcare as well, right? Documentation, policies, procedures that have to be looked up, et cetera. And using generative AI, those kind of situations can be made so much easier for customers and for organizations to kind of look at. So a lot of these use cases that we are thinking about now, that are becoming more and more prevalent. But at the same time, again, I would say it's very difficult for me to think of like what's my favorite, but because every few days somebody is discovering something new, and you're like, whoa, we never thought you could do that. So that's pretty interesting. You could think about all sorts of in a manufacturing environment, you could do much better design, much better forecasting, for example, factory simulations, et cetera, et cetera. You could think about like predictive maintenance, et cetera, things of that nature, all sorts of things. Like, you could think about a pharmaceuticals company looking at significantly enhanced capability when it comes to drug discovery and molecule simulations and things of that nature, right? So just no matter what vertical you talk about, there's just such a massive applicability and all these variety of use cases that our customers will know much better than us as vendors are going to be. And that's the part where we're looking forward to as a consumer now. If you think about me, hey, if I'm going to go to my doctor next, what new thing has been enabled by Gen AI that's actually going to benefit me as an end consumer of some of those capabilities? So all these things kind of come full circle in different ways. And how your car is going to be better designed because of something that an organization did with generative AI. So lots of really, really, really fun things to kind of look forward to in this space.
Very good. Yeah, there's so much going on in the tech space at the moment around AI, huge potential, generative AI. When you look into the future, what things are you excited about, and what are you most concerned about when it comes to using these technologies?
Yeah, so I think we were touching on this just a little bit earlier around, it doesn't matter what it is, any technology, any invention, it can be used by good actors and by bad actors, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you've got kitten videos on YouTube, but you also have cyber attacks, if you can think about. I don't know if it's good or bad for the kitten videos, right? But the idea is, you know, all the way back to, I don't know, the invention of fire by cave people that fundamentally changed the history of humanity. And again, fire also results in, you know, I mean, especially in California, we've seen all these fires that have happened in wildfires that have happened and created so much trouble, et cetera, et cetera. Electricity can be used for good, can be used for bad. Internet, same idea. So with generative AI and with AI in general, it's the same kind of thing, right? To make sure that we have guardrails, right? I'm not, you know, there's all sorts of kind of opinions on this, but I think the key piece is hopefully most folks will agree to have some guardrails, have more guidance. It's such an evolving field right now that we want to make sure that we don't go in a completely wrong direction where we're not able to check and stop any bad actors from what was the Skynet in Terminator or whatever, right? So we don't want that to happen, but as I said earlier, there's so many of these interesting use cases that are going to be unlocked, all these possibilities that are going to be unlocked that we haven't thought about yet, right? I mean, you can imagine, maybe 50 years ago or so, you could not think about, hey, there's going to be something like an iPhone, it's going to have apps in it, and it's going to make everything so convenient or whatever. So as we, you know, solve one set of problems, I think it takes humanity and human thinking to the next level. And I think Gen AI has that possibility of really taking humanity to that next level in terms of us being able to think of a whole next level of problems that we want to solve and have better ability to kind of really address that, right? So really exciting future. And from an enterprise perspective, hey, Broadcom's here as a partner for businesses and organizations to really realize all that value, get all the benefits of generative AI, and while making sure that their data, their IP is all safeguarded.
Very good. Thank you so much, Himanshu. That was super, super interesting. And I agree. I think private AI is the way forward. For anyone who ever wants to rewatch or re-listen to this conversation, simply head to my YouTube channel or my podcast. For now, thank you very much and enjoy the rest of your day. And thank you, Himanshu.
Thank you, Bernard. Wonderful being with you. Great conversation. Thank you.